My name is Michelle. Good day and welcome to the Market Watch on Nova's Business Report. Today I'm speaking to Robert McGregor from Ceres. And we're going to talk about a topic that we haven't touched on before, which is private sector credit extension, i.e. the rate that credit is extended by mainly banks to either individuals or businesses and corporates. And that number has been consistently and persistently low. Rob, thanks for talking to me. I know that the consumer has faced some difficulties and the banks have had quite a bit of write-offs in the individual space. Take us through some of your thinking. What have you understood from the banks? What's cooking at the moment?
Hi, Michelle, and thanks again for having me. So I think, you know, lots of people hear PSCE or private sector credit extension, and they think it's a very complex term. Yeah, it's basically, I mean, just, you know, sort of the banks lending out to private sector, so businesses and individuals. What we have seen is that it has obviously been quite weak over the last couple of years. If you go back further, the last time we had really nice, strong growth levels there was 2015-16 when the economy started sort of hitting a bit of a wall there. And subsequently, it's only really gotten worse. If we adjust for inflation, so to make the numbers real, if you look at private sector credit extension, the growth has been negative since late 2020. So in real terms, households and businesses are deleveraging. And what we've seen is, I think, you know, breaking them up into the two sides. I think on the business side, firstly, is that we saw during COVID with the restrictions that were put in place and similar, businesses needed to take on some debt in order to see themselves through that crisis. And so we did see some credit extension taking place there from businesses. And then subsequent, as the economy is opening up, we saw sort of some business credit growth as well. But with the rapid increase in interest rates out of COVID, we saw that from around June 2022, so mid-2022, business credit has effectively stopped. It's been effectively flat since then. There are some areas where there's growth, for instance, rental cars and similar. So businesses in that field are picking up credit. But overall, it's been quite weak. And while there's a lot of optimism coming through in the debt funding, I think what we see there really is just businesses are wary. Debt has become very expensive for them. No one is willing to grow too far, too much yet, just because, well, you know, we're not out of the woods yet.
Yeah, let me quickly interrupt you there. You make it sound like most of the decision about deleveraging, et cetera, lies with the business or the individual. Maybe that's true for 100% of the cases, but surely there's an angle of bank appetite as well, where there might be a need for credit, but the answer is no.
Yes, definitely. And I think we, from some businesses, we may see that. I think from the household side, we really see that a lot more. So, I mean, households in Namibia typically want to take on credit. Namibians are, you know, they've got a marginal propensity to consume rather than to save. And that's, you know, where we see the weakness from the household side. Specifically, interest rates are very high, so that the cost of the debt that individuals are taking on is quite high. In addition to that, we've had very little in the employment or wages side that's brought relief to households. So, I mean, our last employment data is from 2017, 2018. I can tell you now, offhand, I mean, you know, the numbers are not likely to have gotten any better. In fact, likely looking a lot worse after COVID and what's happened since then. And then we've had very little in the way of sort of income relief as well. So government did the one wage adjustment in late 2022 and suddenly the household credit picked up. We expect that with the tax changes and wage adjustment this year, we'll see that. But the other side of the coin is obviously the willingness to lend. You know, everyone is more optimistic, but it's not a broad-based economic recovery just yet. And so banks have, you know, several choices of what to do with their money. Do they lend it out to households or to businesses, or can they earn a better return elsewhere? And I mean, what we're seeing is with the returns that commercial banks can get outside of lending to households or businesses, for instance, lending to government, the risk return mix there just makes more sense to buy government debt more often than it does to extend credit to the private sector at this stage.
It's the term that we've used, armchair banking. So, I mean, you see that in the vehicle sales as well. It's not necessarily that there's a lesser appetite. It might actually just be a credit issue from the bank side.
It's definitely multifaceted. And what we've heard anecdotally is now, especially because, you know, we're starting to see more defaults coming through. You've mentioned it earlier that the banks are starting to see some bad debts and similar. So the non-performing loans that aren't being paid on time are picking up. There's provisioning being increased from the banks. And anecdotally, we hear of more rejections for different types of lending, especially now for vehicle lending, given that there's been so much growth in it. And I think a lot of the entities are concerned about overexposure in fields like that.
So two quick last ones. What do you expect to happen then if the sort of oil and gas sector takes off somewhere towards the end of next year or the year thereafter? Are we to see that this credit extension wind will increase again?
I think it should. You know, with the prospects of oil and gas and development taking place in country, I think there'll be more appetite from the private sector to take on credit. And I think there'll be more willingness from the banks, given that there's a better economic outlook. In addition to that, if government's finances continue improving, if we've got more foreign buyers and domestic buyers coming in for government debt, driving down those yields on a relative basis, it does make lending to the private sector more attractive again than it has been over the last couple of years.
Okay. And then the last one, does it seem like in South Africa, the next rate announcement will be a cut or not?
Still difficult to determine at this stage. I mean, the bets on an upcoming rate cut are increasing. I think the big thing is we are still cautious around the rand. It's seeming very stubborn around that 18 rand level to the dollar, not really wanting to go below that. But if things continue like this, I think we should see a bit more relief. The only caution there is obviously the Monetary Policy Committee, the governor and one of the new deputy governors, seeming more hawkish, talking about a low inflation target and similar, and that may make them hold off on a rate cut too quickly.
I hear you. And then obviously the expectation is that Namibia should follow for the next announcement what SA does.
Most likely at this stage. I think we see in Namibia that there's their willingness to provide additional relief to consumers, but given the complications around our currency peg arrangement and what that means for monetary policy, we can't implement it to the same extent here just yet. But we do already see that willingness there in that 50 basis points differential that we have with South Africa as it stands.
Okay, great. Rob, thanks for talking to me. That's unfortunately all that we have time for today. Until the next time, and thanks for your insights.
Thanks for having me.